You're listening to audio from the Church of Christ in Albany, Western Australia. If you'd like to know more about our church community, please head to coca.org.au. We trust that this week's sermon will be a blessing to you.
It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It's a great passage, isn't it? We've all heard it many times before. We usually call it the Great Commission. And we can, you know, some of us can actually, you know, tell us what it says, repeat it, because we've heard it so many times. And as evangelical churches, we hold to this as being central to our purpose, our reason, if you like, for existing as a church. But what does it mean to make disciples? The word disciple means follower, a learner, somebody who is an apprentice, if you like. And I've pondered this over many years and thought about what is this process of discipleship? Because we often just use the word and we're not quite sure what it actually means and how it actually works. So I've thought about it a lot, and I want to share with you some personal thoughts about what I think that this pathway to discipleship looks like. And I found it helpful to think of it in terms of a U-shape. So you're going to see that U-shape there. This is your pathway to discipleship. And it's a journey that in which we travel from a place where we're far from God, there on the left-hand side, to a place on the right-hand side where we're near to God. And on the left-hand side, we're letting go of some things. And on the right-hand side, we're taking hold of some things. I'm going to talk about that as we go along. And there's lots of passages of Scripture that help us to understand what we're talking about here. There's lots of passages that talk about us being far from God and about becoming more near to God. And in fact, there's another passage which Paul talked about where he said, and by the way, God's not far from any of us. So that's really important. We might be, or we might feel that we're a long way from God, but he's always there. He's always near us. Ephesians 4:14 says, then we will no longer be infants. So think of the U up on the left-hand side where we're infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So in other words, being a disciple of Jesus is a pathway. It's a growth. It's moving from a place where we're mere infants to a place where we are mature. So following Jesus' commission to make disciples of all nations means working with people from the time when they were infants right through to a place where they are in every respect, as Paul says in Ephesians, the mature body of him who's the head, that is Christ. That's beautiful. That's what we're here for. We are all seeking to grow to become more mature in Christ. But where does that pathway start? And how do we get onto it, if you like? Well, I've got some words that I want to put up. And the first word there is connecting. Because, you see, as a church, we have a responsibility to connect with our wider community. We can come here every Sunday, sit down, do what we want. We're out here on, what's the name of that road down there? Yeah, well, that's it. Who knows where we are? I mean, we're here doing our little thing. Do we connect with the community? Does the community as a whole know who we are and where we are and what's going on? We need to be able to connect with the community in the first place. And we all have connections. Every one of us are out there in the community. We meet with people, we work with people, we make all sorts of connections. But what are the connection points that allow a person to come closer to God through their life in Christ? What are those opportunities where a person may connect with the body of Christ as a whole instead of just with us as individuals? A pastor who I know shared a story with me just the other day about a girl. She was aged about 20 and her boyfriend, and they turned up at church for the first time. And it was a church where I'd previously been the pastor, so I was really interested in their story. In fact, I was absolutely delighted with what I heard, because something had come up for them and they had said, "I think we need to go to church." This is a young couple, 20-year-olds, got talking about stuff amongst themselves and said, "I think we need to go to church." And the bloke said, "Well, I've never been to church in my life. I don't know where to go." And she had a memory. She had a memory of attending Messy Church as a child. Now, if you don't know what Messy Church is, come and ask me afterwards. I can tell you all about that. But there was a place where she had developed good memories of church. It was a place where adults and children played together. We ate together. We worshipped together. And we enjoyed being a part of the life of the church. And it was a very special place for many people. And because of that, she was drawn back to it in her memories. That was a special place. That was something significant. Probably more than 10 years afterwards, she then went back to link up with that church. And almost immediately, they got her connected with an alpha group to start to help that couple to learn more about Jesus. We need to give our children good memories of church. Memories are very, very important to our growth, and we need to give our children good memories of church. Memories that will last even if they wander away from God. These connections that we develop with people are so important. They're connections that are critical for people to become disciples or followers of Jesus. Our churches need to be welcoming and transparent. We need to be providing many connection points with the wider community, connections with children, connections with their parents, with other members of the family, connections with all sorts of people. I guess the problem is that there was a movie many years ago, Field of Dreams. I don't know, some of you might remember it. Kevin Costner was involved, and they were going to build a baseball diamond in the middle of a field. And I think it was Kevin Costner said, "Build it and they will come." And I've heard churches actually quote that over the years. "Oh, we build a church and all the people will come." Well, actually, that wasn't what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples. Go, and as you're going, make disciples." We need to build connection points outside of the church. And in fact, that's how Jesus began his ministry. And we read that in Luke 4, where Jesus said, "And I've come to preach good news to the poor. I've come to bring sight to the blind and to bring freedom to those who are in prison." He wanted to reach out into the wider community. And so that's where our connections occur. And then as people connect with the church, they start to engage. That's the next word we're going to put up there. They'll attend things that we run. We get involved. They get involved with the things that we're doing. And it may not be Sunday morning. It might be playgroup. It might be basketball. It might be something else. And we need to encourage people to participate and not just be onlookers or consumers. I was talking to a church where they had a food program. They were out there once a week offering food to people who were struggling. People would come in and they would get some food and they'd take it away. And there was one particular man who came. He was hungry. He was fed. And then he came back again the next week. And he kept on coming back. But over a period of time, he found it so helpful that he started to help. So instead of him coming along to get food, he joined the team that was giving food to the people who came. And after a little while, he became one of the key leaders in that group of helping to run that program. Did he become a Christian? Well, I don't know. I haven't heard the rest of that story. But that's not the point. The point is he became engaged in the life of the church and the life of the activities and started to feel that he belonged within that group. And that is so important for us as we think about the life of the church. We need to encourage people to participate and to get to that point where they actually feel that they belong. I love looking at the disciples and looking at what happened to them and how they followed that path of discipleship, because it's really interesting for us to look at the details of that. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And one day John pointed out to Andrew, he said, there goes Jesus. And so Andrew and his mate, they went off and started to talk to Jesus and follow him. And Jesus said, well, come home to where I'm staying. We don't know where it was. We don't know whether he was renting a house or boarding with someone or lived under a bridge. We don't actually know where he was, but it says there in John 1 that Andrew and his friend went back and they spent most of the day with Jesus. Jesus was talking to them, telling them all about who he was and so on. In fact, the passage doesn't tell us what they were talking about. But Andrew was so excited by what he heard that he went and told his brother Simon and said, Simon, come and meet the Messiah. And that was a really important first step for Andrew. And I think it's important for us to recognize that many people will do that. When people come to church or when they first hear the gospel, they're actually quite happy to go and tell their friends about it because they're excited about what they've heard. It's new, it's interesting, and they're not afraid to tell other people about it. And that's something that we should be encouraging, that people can engage in the life of the church to the point that they're actually willing to tell their friends about what they've learned. Because in time, they begin to feel that they belong. They come to a point where they say, I love these church people. They seem to care for me. They just seem to show an interest in me, and they care for me in a way that nobody else has done. There's something about these Christians. I wonder what it is. I wish I could be like them. Belonging in the life of the church usually requires more than just coming along on Sunday morning. It usually involves participating in the life of the church through eating with other brothers and sisters in Christ, through being involved in activities, through building real friendships. And people usually need to have a sense of belonging in the life of the church before they get to that place where they embrace the gospel. Peter had been following Jesus. He'd been learning from him. He'd been actively involved with Jesus' ministry. And one day they were talking about what people thought about Jesus. And Jesus said to Peter, so, okay, you told me about what all these other people think, but what about you? What do you think about me? And Peter said, you are the Messiah sent from God. You can read that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 18 to 20. He embraced the gospel of Jesus. And it was a journey. We need to just be aware as we look at the gospels. There was that first time where Andrew invited Simon to come and meet Jesus. Then there was another moment where they were down on the beach and Jesus said, come follow me. So you can see Simon is just starting to notice who Jesus is and find out who he was. And then they come to this point where Jesus said, but who do you believe that I am? And he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And he'd embraced the gospel of Jesus. That spot at the bottom of the U is really important, because that's a critical point in our discipleship pathway. And sometimes we kind of think when we talk about discipleship, we think discipleship is all that happens after we become a Christian. What I've told you so far is that there's actually a journey that we're on that might start way, way back. And we are slowly getting to know Jesus, getting to understand who he was. And when we look at the disciples of Jesus, we realize that what was happening. It was a slow process for some of them. Not everyone makes it through to that point at the bottom of the U. Judas was one of those. Judas is one of Jesus' disciples, and he dropped out. He didn't continue. But you know, Jesus loved him throughout that time. Jesus engaged him. He gave him the job of looking after the money of all things. He trusted him. He allowed Judas to belong to that group of disciples. And Jesus loved him. I just want to say that when disciple making is driven by love, then success is not our goal. When disciple making is driven by love, success is not our goal. So now we come to going up the right-hand side of the U. It's a new life because we're starting to take hold of the things of God and to take hold of those things and say, how do I live to be more like Jesus? And I want to suggest that it starts off by walking. You see, most of what Jesus did with his disciples happened while they were out walking, while they were doing stuff. Jesus didn't pull his disciples aside and say, right now we're going to go into a little theological college. And you're going to learn all that stuff. And when you've learned it all and you've got your head all clear and you know exactly what you believe, then I'll let you go out. He said, no, let's just get on with the job. Let's go and make disciples. And as we do that, we're going to learn stuff along the way. And there's a story of in Mark 2:23, where Jesus was walking through the grain fields with his disciples. They were picking off some grains, and some of the Pharisees said, hang on, what are you doing there? This is the Sabbath. So Jesus got to talk to the Pharisees and explain to them about what was going on and help them to understand. And in the process of explaining that to the Pharisees, he was also just telling his disciples about what it was. So they were learning some stuff at the same time. It was while they were walking through a grain field. And that's what life is all about. As we are walking, as we are getting on with life, doing our job at work, at school, at home, wherever we might be, on the golf course, wherever, we need to be recognizing we are walking with Jesus and learning from him. We're putting his teachings into practice. We're living Christ-shaped lives. We're walking alongside our brothers and sisters, and we're helping them to learn more about what it means to be mature in Christ. That's disciple making. We're walking with people and we're helping them and they're helping us. We are becoming followers of Jesus together. And we listen to our friends' pains and their joys, and their doubts, and the worries that they're having. And we work together through those things. We're walking with Jesus. And we're noticing all the time that Jesus is there with us. I think that's a little practice that we need to think about. How do we notice that Jesus is there? What are the little things that come up from time to time where we say, actually, Jesus was there walking with me on that one. I get that. So as we do that, we then get to a point where we start to recognize how we can serve Jesus more directly. And there's a whole lot of passages in the scripture about spiritual gifts. I've talked about this before. And how those gifts have been given to us graciously by God for the purpose of making disciples. That's why he's given us those gifts, to build up the church, to help each other to grow, to be more like Christ, to grow in maturity. And these gifts are tools that God has given to us as disciple makers. And those tools are many and varied. And I want to say that the spiritual gifts are present throughout this church. Every one of us have some gifts. And I encourage you to read the passages about that and to ask yourself and to ask God, what are the gifts that God has given me? How can I use those tools in order to help other people in our church to grow to be more like Jesus? Are there tools that I can use to connect with those who are outside of the church? Tools that I can use to help people to engage more fully, people who are just new around the church? How do I help them to engage in the life of the church or to feel that they belong? What can I do to help people to come to that place of accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for the first time? And then how do I help them to put their gifts into practice in order to help other people? And sometimes those tools can be used to take us to that next level, which I call leading, a place where we may become leaders in the life of the church. Not all of us do, but some people do become leaders in the life of the church. Some people are leaders in helping people to come to Christ. Some people are leaders in helping others to find out more about how they may grow in their relationship with Christ. Some of us may be leaders in just a very quiet, simple way in which we just come alongside people and help them. When Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he commanded, he invited them onto a pathway. It's a journey that we're all on. It's a pathway that he said to his disciples, come on this pathway with me, to follow me, to be my disciple, to be my apprentice, as you learn more and more about what it means to follow Jesus. And this morning, I want to ask you where you are on that pathway. As you think about that pathway and where it comes, where are you? Have you started on that pathway many years ago? And you feel you belong in the life of the church. You've been around here for a while and everything's fine. But you've never taken that next step where you've got to that point of saying, I actually want to embrace the gospel of Jesus. And if Jesus was to say to you today, who do you think I am? Have you thought through that? Are you able to say, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, and I actually want to follow you? And I want to be a part of that pathway that continues on to serve you and helps others to become more mature. I want to invite you this morning, and I'm going to give you an opportunity in a little while as we sing our last song, an opportunity for you just to recognize and acknowledge the fact that you want to embrace Jesus, perhaps for the first time. As you think about the fact that Jesus loves you deeply, he cares for you deeply, he's forgiven you through his death, his resurrection. He sacrificed everything that you may become a follower of Jesus. He wants you to know the peace and joy of being a follower of Jesus, of knowing that you're forgiven, and of knowing that God has an incredible purpose for your life. He wants you to become one of his followers, not just anyone, but to be a follower of Jesus, to become a disciple of Jesus. That's his great plan for you, to become mature like him. And this morning, I want to invite you to take that step today. But you may also recognize in doing that, that perhaps the baptism is something you need to do, a more sort of formal way of acknowledging that decision, because baptism is a way in which you can publicly say, yes, I am on that journey. I'm on that pathway. And I want everyone to know that I'm on that pathway. And I want to sort of take that next step. So maybe you need to be baptized and you'd like to take that opportunity to do that today. So this morning, I want to ask you to reflect on where you are on that pathway. Am I going forward? Am I growing in maturity, drawing near to God? Am I actively helping other people to connect with the church and with Jesus? Am I helping people to engage with the church in various ways, helping them to feel that they belong? You know, that's a very simple thing. Invite them to a meal, sit down, have a chat to them. How are you going today? That makes a big difference. Jesus, when he called his disciples to him in Matthew 28:16, it says that the 11 came to Jesus and they worshipped him. But then there was something else that it says. It said, but some doubted. These were the 11 disciples, his closest friends who had been with him for probably around 3 years. They'd been through all the good times, the tough times. They'd learnt from him every day. They had been there and watched him die. They'd seen him come to life again and appear in a room, a locked room, and show them his hands and feet. They'd been through all of that. And yet it says they still doubted. I think that most of us do some doubting. I suspect that most of us, when we look at stuff in the Christian life, we say, I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's right, or I'm not sure. I think that's okay. I think that's what happens. But you know, Jesus said to that group of 11, even those who doubted, he said, I want you to go and make disciples. And I think that's the message for us. Even if we doubt, even if we haven't got it all together in our heads, we're not quite sure what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus has said, go and make disciples. And I'll give you a promise, he said. I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that beautiful? This disciple-making pathway that we've got there is a privilege. It's a joyful journey that you and I can take together. And Jesus is coming along with us every step of the way. We mightn't always feel him, but he's there because he's promised that he would be with us always to the very end of the age. And this morning, I want to ask you where you are on that pathway. We're going to get musicians to come up, and we're going to sing our last song. While we're singing, I want to just invite you to reflect on where you are on that pathway. And you might like to just come down the front here. I know it's not something we do regularly in this church. It's not something I regularly do to invite you like that, but I think it's an appropriate time because we're going through some changes in the life of the church where we're saying, what's our journey as a church? Where are we heading? And I believe it's so important that we become a disciple-making journey. And I know that Tim is going to be talking over the next 3 weeks, and I'm pretty sure that you're going to be saying some of the same things. So there you go. Yeah, so that's really important for us as a whole church, but as individuals, we need to be thinking about what's my journey. And if you've never got to that point of saying, I want to embrace Jesus, I want to embrace the good news of Jesus and become a follower, and I encourage you to do that today. Just come down the front here and somebody will be here to pray with you. Or you might not want to come down while we're singing. You might want to wait until afterwards, but just come. Or maybe you want to be baptized. Maybe you want to make that next step of saying, how do I serve Jesus? How can I become a leader in the life of the church?